Hey everybody, welcome back to the Lucky Dog Podcast. This is your host, Elias Roush. Today we are talking about Westworld Season 2, Episode 8. Well, we have another one. I honestly think this has been a fantastic season. It has only gotten better, in my opinion. We are wrapping up last couple episodes. This is Episode 8 we are covering today, and this was pretty much solely based on one of our only main actors of the show for this one. This was led by, sorry, I should have had this guy's name up. 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds. Episode 8 is called Kikasuya, and this is the story of, where is this guy's name? Akita Cheetah. Oh god, we're gonna call him Akie, A-K-E, because I don't want to ruin his name any more than that. But this is his storyline, and just as a lot of people had predicted, the Native Americans had been kind of pushed to the side of this whole Westworld storyline and how it has really worked. They've been kind of looked at as more or less like quote-unquote savages and not really the greatest portrayal of what you would want to look at modern-day Indians to be, or Native Americans to be. the whole reason they were so aggressive and violent essentially was because they had been boosted. All of their stats had been boosted. Specifically, his had the actor's name is Zahn McLaren, who plays Akie. I think this actor is phenomenal. He did an amazing job in Season 2 of Fargo, and he's done an even more of a stellar job in Season 2 of Westworld. This guy brings so much, stoicness doesn't sound right, but he is extremely stoic in the way he portrays almost all of his characters. He's got this this wise kind of meditative look about him that is it feels deep, like he has deep emotions going on. He has a lot of thinking behind the scenes, but yeah, he plays the robot extremely well. I thought that it did some amazing explanations. This episode had action, it had suspense, it had romance, it had maybe a little bit of horror here and there. You know, when he saw his girlfriend and she's frozen in cold storage, there was some real emotion in this scene, and I thought that it executed it to a T. They pretty much set everyone else to the side. Dolores is barely, I don't think she's in it at all. Maeve, maybe a few seconds on the table while she's being fixed. But there's all of the focus is on this one guy, and he leads the whole thing. I mean, I didn't feel like I was missing a beat the entire time. Normally in Westworld, there's like a single episode where he might just focus on one or two characters, like a bottle episode. This was sort of his own bottle episode. But it was also his own little mini-movie narrative, because he had to go through the ringer for everything. And it also goes through and explains how he had walked into the crime 30 years ago, the scene where Dolores shot Arnold, and there was a malfunction in the park, and then he walked in it again when Dolores did it 30 years later or whatever, when she shot Ford. So he's been there for both of the times that shit has hit the fan, and the first time it caused him to kind of go a little haywire. He found the maze, and then he started carving the maze into everything. They ended up taking him off and putting him in storage when he was off his loop, sort of. He was carving all this stuff, and it actually, they go through showing the maze being carved, but also why it needed to be protected and where they were going to protect it. They scalped a couple of Indians in the first season, I believe, or at least one. Kissy, I believe, was the actor's name. Was the name of the Indian or Native American that was scalped, and he had a maze on the inside of his head. How would nobody know that there is these mazes on the inside of the robots' heads, with the exception of if they were just Native Americans? And this guy, Aki, was telling them to hide the maze within their own scalp, because they knew that they were going to pass away. They knew that they were going to die. So it was really, really crazy. It even goes to showing how the Native Americans were not trying to hurt Maeve and her daughter. They were trying to let them know and give them information, but it definitely came across wrong. And obviously, that's an overarching message of, you know, messages aren't always what they seem. You know, don't shoot first. You know, violence isn't always the best answer, because if they would have, you know, gotten the message, they probably would have escaped or something like that. But yeah, the biggest thing we learned is this guy, he's seen the inside of the facility. He's seen other parts of the facility. He's seen almost everything. He is essentially up to date as much as Maeve and or Dolores. I'm not sure if, I guess Dolores is pretty up to date if you consider her woke. But yeah, this guy in one episode we find out is essentially on the same level as Maeve of consciousness. I'm curious about how he's gonna factor into the rest of the season. I have seen a couple different takes on the end of the season. I've heard it's kind of a polarizing ending. I wonder if it's going to be a big cliffhanger. I'll do a couple predictions and a little bit of a section before we finish up the podcast, if anyone wants to jump out of the podcast and doesn't want to hear any predictions. No marketing spoilers. I have not looked ahead, not listened to any podcast. No articles, no nothing. Except for that polarizing ending I've heard. Which I can't really... Is that spoiler or something? I don't know. So, let's see. We have... Man in Black is currently with Aki, the Native Americans. They'll probably end up all joining together and kind of ride as one. We're going to go into spoiler predictions now. For anyone, predictions that may have spoilers in it. Sorry, I don't know any spoilers. I don't know what's going to happen. Have not watched 9. Yeah, definitely. I think that we're going to get some real help. Oh wait, I think Ed Harris was taken by his daughter, I believe, Grace or Emily or something like that. I don't know. So we're going to get. I think our main heroes are mostly kind of wounded right now, but I think we're gonna get all upgrades. We have to get everyone back together in a centerfold. The only thing is, we don't have like a center space that we're all about to meet. It doesn't feel like we're all coming to a single close. I don't see where we're all ending up, except maybe in Sweetwater again. For the most part, a lot of the season has been all over the place. I mean, some here, some there, some there, some here. People have just been traveling all over the place. We have to keep an eye on Bernard. Bernard is definitely still under Ford's rage. The ghost and the machine that is Ford. and he's basically in controlling Bernard. So yeah. Anything else we need to know? Overall, I thought this episode was just spectacular. I thought that this... generally, I find it a little jarring sometimes when they put a bottle episode, a kind of a quote-unquote filler episode. This was not a filler episode by any means. It's just they put all of their main actors and their main leads to the side. and they used only him. I don't know if it's budgetary reasons, if it's just cheaper to shoot with one actor the majority of the time that wasn't used in first season, but he held it. If his acting was not 100% on par, if it wasn't 100% with the connection with his wife, if there wasn't a connection with his village, then it wouldn't have worked. And I really do think that the majority of those things really worked, specifically the connections with his wife, and just how his reaction was—it was heartbreaking. I mean, Kelly and I were watching it. We were like, "Wow, are we actually like feeling something for this guy?" I mean, I think I felt a little bit more emotional. I had a more of an emotional reaction to this guy's episode than I've had almost to any episode. I don't think I've ever felt as emotionally attached to Dolores as I did to this guy in one episode. And I'm not sure if it's because he's just he we know he's 100% woke, relatively woke, and Dolores seems a little bit stagey still at the time. She's feeling very stagey at the ever since the beginning of season two, which would explain if she's being controlled by Ford still. So yeah, great episode, great episode. I had to definitely hop on this one. I didn't want to let this one go by and just hop on 8 or 9, 9, 10, finish it up. This one definitely had to be talked about. But thank you for listening. Rate, share, subscribe, listen to more podcasts. Check out the show notes for all our other podcasts and SoundCloud, YouTube podcasts, Apple iTunes, Android, iPhone. We're available on everything. Check us out. Rate, share, subscribe, Love and Dog Podcast. Take it easy.